26, 2020, and fall is definitely in the air. This is Deanna Spingola, and I am broadcasting, as always, from the Chicago suburbs, where it is rather overcast today. Seems like we've gone from summer right into fall, and the temperature seems to have dropped drastically. Anyway, it's kind of different. I am happy that you have decided to join me today at republicbroadcasting.org, and I hope that you will also subscribe to and visit SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. At SpingolaSpeaks.net, there are some amazing resources, particularly if you click on Your Health Matters. You will find an amazing array of things that you can do to help yourself and to help others. It's just a fabulous list that this wonderful person has put together. It's not a website that I manage. It's somebody else that manages this, and I'm eternally grateful for the work that he has put into this website. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, you may email comments at spingola.email. And of course, you're always welcome to participate in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And we ask that you allow others, don't monopolize the conversation in the chat room, but be considerate of the other participants that are involved there. You may review the names of the guests that I've had in the past, as well as those that I have already scheduled for future programs. During the past almost 10 years that I have broadcast on RBN, I have interviewed some remarkable people who have written books, who have done some very interesting things. And I feel it an honor to have been able to chat with these wonderful people. We have another wonderful person today that has written a lot. And our guest today is Stefan Verstappen. That's Verstappen. And he is the author of The Art of Urban Survival and The 36 Strategies of Ancient China. His website is ChinaStrategies.com. He also produced a remarkable video. It is called Defense Against the Psychopath. And I had watched it previously, and today I watched it again. And I thought, oh my goodness, each time that you review a book or you look at a video, it's kind of different because of the circumstances in your life. The video or the book could have a totally different meaning to you and could be applicable to you when the first time, perhaps the first time that you watched it or read a book, whichever, it didn't resonate with you. But anyway, Stefan, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Oops, sorry, I was on mute, Deanna.
I do that often. I mute myself and I'm talking away and nobody's hearing me.
I'm engaged in building projects here, sawing and hammering.
Sure. It's very understandable. Anyway, yeah. Welcome. I'm very happy that you took the time out of your schedule to visit with us today.
It's my pleasure, Deanna. It's been a year since I've been on.
Oh, has it been that long? Yes, we have not chatted for a year. And my gosh, what a year this has been.
My God.
Who knew last September that we would, in March of this year, our entire lives would be drastically changed. I don't think that anybody could have anticipated that, and have anticipated the circumstances and the degree to which those circumstances have altered everything. We're under house arrest. We have to wear masks. I don't wear a mask, but there's so many things that have changed, and so many people that really buy into what they are hearing on TV or wherever they're getting their news. I have not had my television set on since March because it's programming, and I opt not to be programmed. Anyway, what are your views on what is going on here?
Well, listen, a lot of this I did predict a couple of years ago with my video. First of all, there was the video Historical Cycles, Are We Doomed to Repeat the Past, in which I laid out the evidence that we are in the downward stage of civilization. We are in the collapse stage, heading towards total chaos. And then last year, I predicted that this was going to happen, economic collapse, famines. But I never guessed that it would be because of this, under the guise of a phony pandemic. That's the part I didn't guess. I knew it was going down. I knew they planned to take us down. I knew they planned to destroy Western civilization. We knew they planned, you know, everybody that's even heard of the Georgia Guidestones knew that whoever put them up and whoever's behind all this is planned to have, you know, murder 8 billion people in the next few years. So we knew all that was coming. But the pretext of a pandemic, that I didn't guess. I didn't see that coming. And what a perfect pretext. Now everybody suddenly has emergency powers. Emergency powers. In other words, every mayor, every governor, every MP, every member of parliament, every congressperson and senator, now they're all dictators. They can just make this stuff up. Whatever they want, they can just say, oh, emergency powers. Now everybody has to stand 6 feet apart. And no, you're not allowed to have more than 6 people. You're 5 people, okay, but 7 people is the end of the world. And no, you can't go to work, and you can't go to school, and you can't do this. I mean, it's madness, Deanna. I swear to God, I feel like I'm living in that movie. I feel like I'm Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
All
Nest.
Right, right.
Right? And everybody I meet, especially with this mask nonsense, I get into fights. I nearly got into a fist fight the other day with this mask, because I don't wear one. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm,
I don't either. I just don't.
I'm not your programmed obedient slave. I have an IQ above room temperature. I know these masks don't work. And then, but everywhere I go, it's always Nurse Ratched, you know.
Right.
All these mask Karens, you know, it's ridiculous. And so I get into a big fight, and now pretty much nobody talks to me because I won't wear the mask. So my friend, listen, I never had family, but I did have friends, but I don't have friends anymore. I don't. This madness has divided people. There's those that think they're saving the world by putting on the mask, and they think those of us that do not put on a mask are evil. We're evil people now, you know, and the truth be told is they are the ones that are complying with the tyranny, with, you know, they are the collaborators with the powers that be. I'm the freedom fighter, not you guys. I'm the one that's trying to save the world, not you obedient slaves wearing your damn masks. You are not saving the world. And, you know, and again, we have this same dichotomy with the vaccines. When everybody started saying, well, if you don't get a vaccine, you will endanger my children that do have a vaccine.
Well, that is stupid, isn't it?
Remember, that came out already 3 years?
Yes.
And I just Googled it the other day. Are they still saying that? Yes, they are. They're still saying that. So, and it's the same thing. Well, if you don't wear a mask, you're endangering me if I do wear a mask. No, no, that's not how it works. That's not how science works. You lunatics, you madmen. You know, I feel like Howard Beale in Network.
Oh, right. Yes. That was such a great scene. Oh, yeah. That was wonderful.
So that's my life now. A cross between Howard Beale in Network and Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I'm all on my own here, Deanna. It's just me, and now it's just you.
Yes. Yes. Well, whenever I when I walk down to the mailbox or when I'm out and about and I see people who don't wear a mask, I always say, thank you for not wearing a mask. And most of the people that I talk to, whether it's a delivery person or a neighbor, they believe also the way that I believe that masks are really crazy. And yet they're not the people that are being that the media is shining on. The media, of course, is programming. They have programmed people, and people who've been educated, or I say programmed in the government schools, are going to be obedient to authority figures. They're going to take the vaccines because somebody in a white lab coat with a stethoscope around their neck says, oh, you've got to take this vaccine, even though it has mercury and aluminum and aborted fetal tissue and God only knows what else. But they're going to do it because people have been programmed to be obedient. And apparently I must have missed those classes because I am not obedient. I'm just not. I like to think for myself. And I think that's what people should do, is to look to just use common sense. As you indicate, if a person has been vaccinated, well, an unvaccinated person shouldn't legitimately be a threat. A person who isn't wearing a mask shouldn't be a threat to somebody who does have a mask on. But they just don't see it that way at all. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, I know, I think you probably interviewed her, Charlotte Isserby.
In the past. Yes.
Yeah. And the dumbing down of America. And she hit the nail on the head. People now, I know this is going to sound arrogant and condescending.
Go ahead.
They're idiots. They're morons. My God, they've been taught nothing. 12 years.
Right.
12 years. We've put kids into this meat grinder of a brain numbing zombification process called public education. And after 12 years, they come out knowing nothing. Nothing of any value or usefulness to society. It's ridiculous. People cannot think. And it's not like, oh well, you can't make a judgment on this because you don't have a medical degree. No, you don't need a medical degree. You just need basic common sense to figure this out. But basic common sense has gone the way of the dinosaur. There's none left anymore. The people I see walking around, and I'm glad you see people that don't wear a mask. Here in communist Canada, I don't see anybody that doesn't wear a mask. Everybody wears a mask. Walking down the street, whether they're driving in their car.
My gosh. People have hypoxia doing that. In fact, I had a service person come to the house to change a filter in the air conditioner and do the seasonal cleanup and whatever, because that's an important thing to do. And he said that at one house that he was at, that the resident insisted that he keep the mask on, and he got hypoxia, was working on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous. It's incredibly dangerous. It's pretty bad.
And now, you know, and it's tearing us apart. Listen, there's always been this divide and conquer strategy among the ruling elite, right? They want to keep us all divided amongst each other, bickering over petty items, you know. And now this mask thing and this COVID, and soon it's going to be the vaccine, has divided us even more. I can't believe it. I have, for example, the other day I posted on Facebook that I got into a big argument with the guy at the store about the mask. I told him I have a medical condition, and he says, "We don't believe you because we know you don't believe in the virus." So hold on. I'm sorry. You're a cashier at the beer store, which is a communist institution here in Canada. The government sells liquor through specialized stores. Nobody else is allowed to sell liquor. It's a real communist system here. So I got some minimum wage, not that there's anything wrong with, but that, come on, you're not. I told him, I said, you are paid to be a cashier, not to be a Nazi, okay? Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't serve me, and then they threatened to phone the police on me.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is a store I've been going into every other day for like the last 3 years. Everybody knows me. I always joke with the people there. That's why they know about my opinion on this virus, because I told them back in January, I hope you guys know that this is all a giant hoax, right? Tell me you know this. Well, the government says, and it's on the TV. No, never mind the government says. When has the government ever spoken a word of truth? Why do you people believe the government? I'm getting upset. I'm getting upset.
No, I know. It's a very stressful thing. And your prime minister, Justin Trudeau. My gosh. In fact, I tweeted something about his parent, he's supposed to be the son of Pierre Trudeau.
No,
but okay. He's not. He is the parent. His parent is actually somebody that looks just about exactly alike.
Yep.
And you know who I'm talking about, or no?
Yes, it's Fidel Castro.
Yes, yes. Oh, bless your heart. We are so much on the same page in most, probably 95% of the things.
You take a picture of Fidel Castro when he was young and you compare it with Justin the Dancing
Snowman. They could be twins.
They could be twins. And then you take a picture of Pierre Trudeau, his alleged father. Who doesn't look anything like him.
And exactly.
And his mother, Margaret, she wrote two autobiographies, and the woman, I remember because I'm old enough, because I almost met Pierre Trudeau, and that's another story for another day. But his mother was a notorious whack job. She was a neurotic, psychotic woman, and she wrote two biographies in which she confessed to pretty much having sex with half the rock bands in the world,
Right. And she was a different type of, she was different.
Well, excuse the terminology, but in my days we used to call them psycho bitches.
Okay. Yeah, she was kind of a trampish person. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she was a slut. Oh, my God. The woman was a lunatic. She was a groupie. That's what
yes.
it was. And
and she was quite a bit younger than Pierre.
Half his age, of course. Yeah, so she was a groupie. And listen, just between you and me, I think Pierre watched, okay? That's what I think was his bag, right? But anyway, she wrote in one of her biographies.
He was a pedophile.
All pedophiles. That's a given.
Yes.
That's a given. We're ruled by psychopathic pedophiles. And everybody goes, well, the government says this, so I better obey. What? The guy that you wouldn't trust your daughter with, your underage
right.
children with, but you're going to trust him on this? Are you people insane? Do you have any understanding of how this world really works? No. Charlotte Isserby was so right on that.
Absolutely.
Just educated the smarts right out of everybody. The IQ level must have dropped, 30 points. Guaranteed. Anyway, she even writes in one of her autobiography how handsome and sexually virulent Fidel Castro was. So, okay. Well, listen, we know she banged everybody she met. And we know that the dancing snowflake is the spitting image for Fidel Castro. So you put two and two together.
Yes. Amazing. It is amazing.
I know I'm being a little bit crude, Deanna, and for the audience members out there that might have, more delicate sensitivities. But, I got to be honest with you. I'm at the end of my patience with the whole world and the whole system, because it's not about being polite anymore.
Right. Oh, my goodness, we're at break time already. We will return in 3 minutes, so stay with us. We have a lot more to talk about. Be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back with our guest today. And that is Stefan Verstappen, and he is the author of several books, and also a wonderful video called "Defense Against the Psychopaths," which is available online, and which I posted, I tweeted. I become quite a tweeter. I actually joined Twitter in 2012, but I really never used it until just recently. And it's just a way of communicating with other people who have the same ideas and just thoughts that I do. So we need commonality with some people. Are you there?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to comment on that?
I know.
I don't get Twitter. I've been on since like 2012 too, and I still don't get it. But I don't get a lot of the social media. I find it just so tedious. And anyways, but you know,
it is. But and I also joined Facebook a long time ago, and then I thought, oh, this is time consuming. I thought that it was something that the CIA set up, and I thought, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Because people on Facebook, they, well, for one thing, it's not real. That they're not going to say, boy, I really goofed. I'm such an idiot. It's all about wonderful things that they say they've accomplished, and they just spread their whole life out in front of who God only knows who. I think, what is wrong with these people? And so I just immediately, I don't do Facebook at all. I just think that it's, well, Mark Zuckerberg, I don't think I want to share anything with him. Or I was doing a little exploration on his background. He was a dropout at college, and he went from being a dropout to the corporate boardroom. And I'm thinking, who's he to tell me what to think or how to think? Who the heck is he to be influencing what people believe? And I think, whoa, I wonder who's supporting him. I wonder how he got so far ahead here. Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, of course. All these guys got astroturfed. Same thing with Bill Gates.
Oh, gee. Where that's even worse.
Low-life piece of, excuse my language, come from that suddenly he's the world expert on vaccines and he's going to save. Are you kidding? Stick to plagiarizing other people's software, you dirty low-life crook, you know? And now suddenly him and his, I'm sorry, his wife is a man.
I know. I think that too. If you look at him and you think, and I'm always saying that his wife, Melinda Gates, has so much testosterone, more than Bill.
Yeah.
And it's just bizarre when you look at them and you think, something's wrong here. It's really bizarre. His mother worked for IBM. His mother was also associated with the Federal Reserve in Seattle. The father was in charge of Planned Parenthood. So this guy grew up with the idea that you needed to depopulate. You needed to get rid of a lot of these people. And, of course, you go back to Margaret Sanger, who was in charge of Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And who the heck is he to be telling us what to do? But how did he get so doggone rich? Where did he and the government, and it's my belief that he and the government collaborate, okay? He mm-hmm. would not be getting away with any of this stuff unless he had unless he collaborated with the government. Because what they should do is arraign him and arrest him and his and Melinda, I'm not going to say wife, they should arrest both of them for crimes against humanity.
I agree.
But they're not going to do that because they've been collaborating with them since Gates claimed that he discovered Microsoft. And it's just a big big collaboration with the government.
Absolutely. All these people are astroturfed.
Yes. And
for the listeners that don't understand that term, we think that people work up from the grassroots, right? Like we think, oh, Black Lives Matter, it's a grassroots movement. No, it's not. Antifa is a grassroots movement. They worked their way up from the community. No, they didn't. Bill Gates is a self-made billionaire. No, he isn't. Jeffrey Zuckerberg, you know, Mark, right.
Uh-huh. You're thinking of Jeffrey Epstein.
Which is what I was going to mention next,
right.
too. It's another character, Jeffrey Epstein. What did he ever do? The last thing we heard about him, he was a math teacher at a private high school or something like that. Next thing you know, he's buying islands and entertaining all the royalty of the world to indulge their perversions and pedophilia with underage girls. I mean, how did that happen?
How it happened is that he got his start with Donald Barr, who was the father of Bill Barr, who is ex-CIA. Now, we know that the CIA was created to wreak havoc in other countries, to do things that the government could not legitimately do. The CIA is a criminal institution within the government. Bill Barr, our current Attorney General, is Donald Barr's son, and Donald Barr is the one that initially hired Jeffrey Epstein. We'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-927-9673. 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Stefan Verstappen, and his website is ChinaStrategies.com. We were talking about Donald Barr and his son, William Barr. William Barr, at the time that Epstein was was arrested for the first time that they caught him. Well, yeah, I guess it was the first time that they caught him. Did not recuse himself. His law firm represented him and did not recuse himself. So as far as I'm concerned, William Barr is not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything for anybody except the people he's working for or with. So don't look for him to be some sort of savior. And I think that there are some people in the country that think, oh, gosh, he's so wonderful. Bill Barr is going to take care of things. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Baloney. He's not going to do anything. The government is full of criminals and psychopaths, and that's what it's made up of. They wouldn't be where they are if they weren't conflicted, if they weren't compromised, if they weren't who they are, which is a bunch of, yeah, right.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of this. Anyways, just to finish my thought on astroturfing for your listeners. So
right.
While we may think that these people, you know, they work, they're so smart, they worked their way up from the bottom and became billionaires. No, none of that's true. They were astroturfed. And what astroturfed means is that they were funded by the deep state, by the powers that be. I prefer to think of them as the central bankers. They were funded by the central bankers from the very beginning and made to look as though they're legitimate, made to look as though they worked their way up. Jeffrey Epstein he was a brilliant trader on Wall Street, even though there's no record of him ever making any money on Wall Street. But, you know, he made the money himself. Now he's a billionaire and he can buy islands, private planes. No, all of that money was given to him. It was lent to him. These people are just what they call in the spy business cutouts. They're mm-hmm. a figure that people can see, but they mean nothing to nobody, and they can be removed and replaced by another cutout. They're just a false front for the real powers behind the scenes. So Bill Gates and all these people, no, they're – and then, of course, in order to get ahead, because now let's – You rewatch my video and you understand the world of psychopaths and how it works.
Right.
And this is what we live in now. We live in a world, in a society. And like I said, I feel like I'm in some science fiction movie, but this is the truth. We live in a world that is so corrupt and degraded that virtue is scorned and persecuted and evil is raised up on a pedestal and worshipped. That's just the way it is now. So if you people that make it to the top, they make it to the top because somewhere in some vault, there's a VCR videotape of them raping an 8-year-old. That's how they got
there. Right, right, exactly.
So anybody that makes it to the top, I guarantee you every one of them probably in a vault somewhere in Tel Aviv. There is a video of them. And that's a good case scenario, that they're just raping a child. A lot of them go way further than that, as we know. And I know because I've been part of the police community that has seized snuff films. And they told me what's on these snuff films that they seized. I never tell anybody because look at your worst nightmare. It's worse than that. I'll tell you what it's like. If you ever seen the movie Hostel, and I think there's three of them, where there's this rich elite and they pay to have young people kidnapped and tortured to death and torture them to death themselves. They paid so that they can torture people to death. This is what is running the world right now. This is who's in charge. These are the people that tell you to wear the mask, the ones that pay a lot of money to shadowy underworld figures to kidnap small children, tie them down to a chair so that they can take a straight razor to their face.
Yeah.
This is who's telling us what's going on here. And everybody's just obeying. You know, if people really knew how this world is run, well, first of all, that most of them would probably lose it. The cognitive dissonance would cause
come out of their ears
and their brains to leak out through their nose. I mean, you know, it's tough to face this kind of truth, but you know, I can't deny what I know, and that's the way it is. So that's astroturfing. It's just, you know, billions of dollars to support a bunch of evil pedophiles, sex perverts, and to carry out their agenda. And their agenda is murder 8 billion people. That's their agenda.
Right. Getting back to Jeffrey Epstein. Les Wexner, who owns Victoria's Secret, uh-huh. is the one that initially he gave, I think it was for like $10 or $100, a very nice
mansion
yep. in Manhattan,
uh-huh.
and got him started. And when you look at Wexner's background, you think, oh gosh, these people, they're Victoria's Secret, and well, you just have to not imagine their agenda, because it's really pretty awful. And when you talked about I was going to say when you talked about Hillary Clinton, you didn't, but when you were talking about about those things about tearing people apart.
We're talking about, yeah, we both know who we're talking about who does that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And do you think that's ever going to come out?
Never.
Do you think all of those emails about pizza and all of that stuff isn't going to come out?
No.
You think that, who was it, that Uma, her husband, who's
oh,
it?
Yeah. Wiener, what's his
Wiener.
Name?
What a name. Can you? Yes.
Who posts pictures of his wiener.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then none of that You don't hear that on the news, or at least I wouldn't imagine you would. But my gosh, these are people that are supposedly adored by so many people. And of course, with the 2016 elections, the vote for Trump was a vote against Hillary Clinton because so many people despised her, hated her, and they don't even know what she did. Yeah. They just know that she was an evil person who they talk about Benghazi. Oh, and four people were killed. No, Libya has 122 mass graves of the people that she was responsible for killing. She's a mass murderer.
Yes. Yeah, it's infuriating, you know. You see, my saving grace was, since I was a young kid, I always had a conscience. And I can tell when people don't have one. So for me to laugh and clap at somebody's brutal murder with a bayonet up the rectum, that's, you know, even if I didn't like the guy, it's not something I would laugh and cheer about.
Of course not.
You know, because I have a conscience.
Right.
And that's, you know, in addition, there's something else going on. And I don't know what it is. You know, there's some kind of evil force in the world. I'm a skeptic. That I don't believe in religion and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in the devils and demons and things like that. But there is something at work. There's something evil in the world, because in addition to them dumbing down the population for the last 60 years, they've also destroyed people's conscience, their morality, their virtue. People aren't virtuous anymore. As a matter of fact, having virtue or having standards or having a conscience is something to be ridiculed and mocked by most people. They think you're naive because, well, you know, I'm all against raping children. Well, you're not progressive and you're not, you know, no, it's not that. I think it's evil. Oh, well, good and evil, then you must be. Look, you know, they've really destroyed our moral compass. So not only have they created, I'd say, at least three generations of morons, they've also created three generations of immoral, unethical people.
And I think it's incremental. Getting back to Azerbaijan, when the federal government took over the educational system in our country, which goes back to 1910, literally back to 1910. Mm-hmm. It was incremental that these things were taught. Now, if you started out giving all this information immediately, people would reject it. But sure. But if you just slowly and just slowly take away people's morals or devalue people's morals and then the teaching and the educational process, you instead of teaching writing and the things that you're supposed to be teaching, you're teaching about sex and you're teaching about other things that children should not be learning at school. Those kinds of things should have been taught in the home, because when you're talking about morals, the school has no role, should have no role in teaching moral values. And this, of course, started, in my opinion, right after the so-called Civil War, where things where the South was in favor of local jurisdiction. They were in favor of they were a different kind of a society. And the North was progressive. It wasn't agrarian. If they grew things, I'm not saying they didn't grow anything, but they were. They invaded the South. They destroyed the local control over things. They federalized so many things at that point. And towards the 1870s, 1880s. You started to hear about corporatocracy, or at least the principles of corporatocracy, where things just went downhill to the point that we are at now. But that's a whole different program. But yeah, this whole situation is
It's the boiling the frog.
And, sure, absolutely.
Or like the communists wrote already 60 years ago, the slow march through the institutions. They planned this, you know, little by little, year after year. You don't notice it because, well, you know, people are busy. They're trying to get on with their lives. And, sure. And minutia is not something that's going to get you offended. And now here we are, and now they're teaching, what, third graders how to fist, right? And we've got drag queen story time or whatever the hell they got there now. You know, I offered local libraries here talks because I wrote a whole series of books on how to teach your children to prevent them from becoming sexually molested and how to prevent stranger abduction, because I was teaching martial arts and I had requests from parents, you know, can you teach my kid how to defend against, you know, pedophiles? And I said, yeah, but it's more, you know, behavior modification. You know, the kids have to understand what's creepy behavior for an adult and not to get sucked into the common lures that the adults did. So I put together a whole program, a series of books. I illustrated hundreds of illustrations. Nobody was interested. I don't think I sold 2 copies. You know.
Oh my gosh.
No, yeah, Deanna, no, because I hate that stuff. I hate pedophiles. I know people that have been abused by pedophiles, and it ruins their life forever. If you want to know victims of pedophile, go down to the homeless town and see all those junkies there. And most of those junkies were sodomized when they were 6 years old. That's why they're junkies. I mean, the damage these people caused to the world, it's not just that they hurt the children, they hurt all of society. For dozens of years, we have to suffer with these poor people that have been broken through pedophilia. So I did my best, Deanna. You know, like I said, I created a program. I taught it in my school. The parents loved it. The kids loved it. I mean, I had a lot of fun because it was all role-playing and everybody got to be the star of the stage at one point. Everybody comes to the front of the class and shows how smart they are in being able to thwart pedophiles. They didn't know what I was talking about was pedophilia because they were too young and I didn't want to scare them, you know. But, you know, I did it through role-playing, Deanna. I had the police part of it. I got the cops involved. I had them to come to the club. What can we do to teach kids to prevent being abducted and prevent being molested and prevent being groomed? I studied the habits of the pedophiles. I know how they groom children. So I made lessons that would thwart a pedophile in every stage of the grooming process. You know, for example, I told the kids, never keep a secret from your parents, because the first thing the pedophiles do is, oh, I'll give you the candy, but don't tell your parents. You know, so I thought it through. I spent years working on this. I consulted everybody. I researched it. I taught it. I tried to sell it. Nobody was interested.
Wow.
Nobody. I even had 2 agents in L.A. They were for the Nick Cannon show. Two brothers, really nice guys, really nice guys. And they really believed in my project. And they said, listen, we want to make this into, you know, like a TV show or an episode or something like that. And so they shot me around L.A. for like a year. I went to all these pitch meetings with all these Hollywood studios. I was even slated to be on the Arsenio Hall show, you know, to talk about pedophilia and child abduction and how to prevent it. Never went anywhere, Deanna. It's still up on my website. But, like, listen, when we're talking about this subject, I know because I wrote the book on it. And I did my best to warn people and to, you know, teach your children. There's a few simple rules you can teach your kids so that they don't get groomed, that they don't get suckered in. Nobody's interested, Deanna. People are just perfectly happy to send their kids to school to have their brains ripped out of their skulls and let them loose to be victimized by whatever pedophile happens to be hanging around the school. You know, Deanna, I've been fighting this for so long, and I get no help, and nobody cares. And you know,
is it that no one cares, or they just simply cannot fathom that? That people, pedophiles exist and are dangerous to society. Okay, we're at a break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Stefan Verstappen, and his website is chinastrategies.com. He produced a video documentary, Defense Against the Psychopaths, and in the past we've talked about psychopaths, and we've also talked about education, where schools used to offer skills that were relevant to our gender. I remember taking sewing and cooking and that kind of thing. And now they've totally changed the curriculum to the point that aren't parents awake to this thing? How are they so busy trying to earn a living? I'm just not sure how this has changed so drastically.
Well, it's changed drastically, but over a period of 100 years.
Right. And it's drastic.
It's drastic for me because I'm 63 years old now, and I have a fantastic memory, almost photographic. And I know exactly what the world was like in 1969. And between then and now, yeah, it's drastic. It's a huge change. It's day and night. It's heaven and hell. You know, the 60s and 70s, even the 80s were pretty good times. But
except for Roe v. Wade, that changed a lot of things.
That changed, yeah.
When that happened, I thought, Oh my gosh, this is the worst possible thing the Supreme Court is saying it's okay to kill babies. I read a book, none dare call it conspiracy, and yep. So I felt like I was awake. But
is that the Griffith?
Alan. Let's see, none dare call it conspiracy.
That's an old book.
Yes, it's a very old book. Yeah. It was published in 71.
Yeah.
And it's a great book. It doesn't cover enough stuff, but to that point, it covered a lot of things. And then from there, you could and then I had some experiences too. Getting back when you were saying children need to be told to confide in their parents if something happens to them.
Yes.
And children aren't. Some children just feel like their parents aren't going to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
I had an incident with a neighbor. I was friends with their niece. They were a couple. They had no children. Their niece visited on a frequent basis, and I was friends with her. And one day I was over there, and my friend, their niece, went into the house or something, and the neighbor, bit me on my left breast.
What?
And I was shocked.
How old were you?
I was like 12.
Yeah.
And I was just developing, and I never told my parents because I didn't think that they would believe me. But I never, ever allowed myself to be alone with that. I was going to say something that started with a B again, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured this guy is an evil, the word that starts with a B. So I figured it out that there are people. And also I was babysitting a lot beginning then.
Uh-oh.
And I was amazed at some of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I babysat primarily for two families, and the husbands in both of those families,
mm-hmm.
They were scoping me out. They mm-hmm. literally, attempted to,
mm-hmm.
to take advantage of my age, but I figured it out, and that, you know, there's a lot of creepy people in this world that have children who should mm-hmm. be family people, family men, and they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. They're jerks. They're really bad people.
Yeah. Like you must have been a really cute little 12-year-old girl, right?
Yeah, I was.
you're a cute 29-year-old girl now, and I can imagine what you must have looked like when you were 12. You must have been just adorable. And, of course, if you're babysitting, you're going to get hit on by these creeps, these married men that have their own. And whoever warned you about that?
Nobody warned me about it. Well, my mother said, if anybody tries anything with you, but she didn't explain what anything meant.
Try something, exactly. What does it mean to try something, you know?
And you think about the stranger on the street. You don't think about the people that you know or your neighbor.